WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Friday from our beautiful Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. The morning after the season that was for your Boston Red Sox lose 4-0 in New York, Game 3 of the Wild Card Series. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to have our weekly conversation with one of the Patriots coordinators. This week, it is Jeremy Springer, the special teams coordinator, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Coach Springer, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
We are great, other than the Red Sox loss, but we don't need to get into that. The Patriots win, Marcus Jones. You know, let's get into the good stuff. It's probably fun to be the special teams coordinator and have Marcus Jones returning punts. Is that safe to say?
Man, I think if you're any coach, any special teams coordinator, when you have the thing, if you have good specialists and you have good returner, it makes your life so much better and easier. And then on top of that, they're all great human beings. Like, Marcus is like the best dude ever. Like, he's just a great guy. So it's very easy to coach him. To be honest, I don't coach him much because he's such a pro's pro that he kind of handles his business and he does what he does, and there's a reason why he's a captain on the team.
So, Jeremy, obviously you're a big energy guy, and that's a high-energy special teams unit you have there. Wanted to ask you, what does it mean to you personally and as a coach to see your special teams be the spark to basically not just lead a turnaround but inspire a victory? Because Pats came out a little flat last Sunday. Defense gave up the early touchdown. I think fans were a little restless. Then all of a sudden, Marcus goes 88 yards for the touchdown. Complete turnaround. You guys put the Panthers in your rear view. What does that mean to you to have the special teams be the catalyst for a win like that?
I really think, man, that speaks to the culture of the team. I think it speaks to the locker room. The guys have bought in, and Coach Rabel's done an amazing job of keeping that buy-in, not just on offense and defense, but on special teams. So we all know on special teams in this organization that it's one play at a time. We get one play to do it, and the guys truly, truly believe that. I think you saw it in the Miami game where we gave up a huge critical play and a punt return for a touchdown. And the next play, the guys came together, and they were like, you know what? We got this one play to do it right, and they go for kickoff return for a touchdown, right? So it's those guys that are just doing all the work and just believing themselves and going out there and executing. So at the end of the day, you know, for me, it's gratifying to see those guys put in the work and really believe in themselves. And again, we're only four games in the state season. There's a lot more football to play. I think there's a lot more football we can be better at, without a doubt. I just hope our guys continue to believe in themselves and they're ready to go out there and execute. And just know it's one play at a time for us. One play perfection. It's our chance to help the offense and defense out, create positive momentum, flip the field. And that's what our job is. And everyone has a role on this team. And again, go out there, execute your job, and it's going to do good things for offense and defense. And I couldn't be more proud that whenever guys do that, for it to come to fruition.
Jeremy, getting back to Marcus's first punt return, because he had two huge ones, probably should have had two touchdowns. Yeah. We talked to him on Monday, and we kind of gave him a hard time about letting the punter take him down there.
Yeah.
Did you say good?
Dude, I'm glad you guys did. I'm glad. He deserves that. He needs to have two touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, that could have really been something special. But that was my question. What makes him so special? Because, you know, we're used to the sort of jitterbug punt returners, guys that are quick and can make people miss. But he seems to break more tackles than the average punt returner, certainly punt returner of his size. So is that part of what makes him so great? Why is he so good?
He has a ridiculous, you know, natural instinct sense of, like, setting his blocks up very, very well. Like, he knows exactly what steps to take, how many steps to take before he can go, you know, bounce it to the right, bounce to the left, or just get vertical. And he sets himself up so well for his blocks. And then when the guy's got to make tackles, he's a short, stocky body type that, man, he's just so it's so hard to bring him down with arm tackles. It just really is. He's like a small version of a Darren Sproles-ish, where it's just hard to tackle him. He's got good feet. And his vision, like I said, I just think his ability to set his blocks up is what's so good. And then the decision-making, right? Like, he knows when to return. He knows when to return. And it's just, he just got a good feel for it. Like, in that punt return for a touchdown, I mean, we're basically in safe defense, and he's able to make two guys miss and just kind of slingshot his way around to the wall. And it's just a spectacular skill set that he has. It's unmatched, man. And like I said, as a coach, it's nothing I do. It's really, he's just so good at what he does that it just makes our job so much easier.
So we're now four games into the season, about a quarter of the way through the season, and this is the second season it's been implemented. How do you feel about the new dynamic kickoff in the NFL? Are you a fan of it at this point? It definitely has changed the game in a lot of ways, yeah. And obviously it takes constant adjusting because one team like Carolina kicks those knucklers, and other people kick it to the front and the back. It's like it's really deceptively tricky.
Yeah, it is, man, and I think you kind of nailed it. It's an adjustment week to week, and I thought last year, you know, you would learn a lot. But remember, you know what, 30% of kicks were covered. So you really didn't get a whole lot like you thought you would have. Like you could be very basic, like we were on kickoff, and be just fine. But now you're going into game five, we're already covered more than we did last year already. So you're just seeing, like, how do you adjust in-game and moving guys around and having to get guys free, or the directional kicks, the dirty ball. It's a lot to kind of digest, and I think we're still – in that phase of every week's a new week. What's the league doing? What are we doing? How can we get better week to week? How we teach our guys to be better at angles and defeating blocks. It's a constant adjustment. So I like it in the sense that it's making us be critical thinkers a lot more, especially in coaches. I'm having to like critically think about what decisions I'm making, how I'm coaching these guys, and what our game plans look like week to week. But it's a constant adjustment, man. So it's made the game more exciting, I think, for us. And I think it's put more plays in our hand, especially team coordinators. And on our special team unit, so it brings the importance of that play for us even more. So you know what, for us, it's a positive, right, all around. At the end of the day,
Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer here on a Patriots Friday on WEEI Afternoons. You didn't get a lot of chances, but we talked a lot leading into the game about that knuckleball that Carolina had, and their numbers were ridiculous. Wondering A, how you thought your team did with that in its limited opportunities, and B, how do you practice something like that? If it's very specific style that the other kicker has, I'm guessing you don't necessarily have somebody, or can you get the jugs gun to do a knuckleball kickoff? Like, how do you prepare for something like that?
Well, so I thought, you know, we had the penalty on the first one. We returned out the second half. We got to the 40-yard line, so I was very pleased at how we blocked it up. We just got to be penalty-free, and that's one of the big things we've been trying to focus on. The second one, we got past the 30. I felt really good about our plan, and after watching the game, I felt really good about our plan. Now, to practice it, the jugs machine, we've got it filtered in a way where it can shoot those kind of dirty balls. And then our kicker kicks dirty balls too, you know. And so we had him do it throughout the week, and it helped us out. Now, the specific type that he hits, that's the issue you run into week to week, because every kicker right now, it's like their own club. So it's a different spin on it. It's a different looking ball. So you're not necessarily going to get the same exact kick, but you're going to get a type of ball where the running backs or your returners have to adjust to it and have to communicate and work that part of it, which you get a lot out of that. It's just that when it comes to Sunday, man, it's like that's the style that that kid has, and if we don't have it, it's going to be hard to replicate that, but we can get some of the communication part out of it.
Jeremy, you talk about Marcus Jones being like the greatest guy, such a terrific person as well, and you know we all know what a great guy Brandon Schooler is, and I'm just curious, you know, to forge like the bond and the brotherhood that a special teams unit, any sports team has to be, how much do you value character in addition to, you know, actual athletic ability when you're putting together your special teams unit?
Well, I mean, if you know anything about special teams, you got to have great character to be a core guy on it, right? Because at the end of the day, right, like if I'm a linebacker, I want to start at linebacker. If I'm a safety, I want to start at safety. So to put all your chips in and be a core guy and believe in it, you have to have a high character because you know that you might not get talked about as much on TV or the radio or get paid like some of those other guys do, but your job is essential to us winning the game. So I think you got to have high character to be a core guy, and I feel like we got a bunch of those guys. You know, you mentioned those two guys, the guys like Jack Gibbons. You know, we got Elijah Ponder, Del Pettis, Charles Woods. You know, all these guys, whatever role they have right now, Anthony Jennings. They're coming in and they're owning that role. Marte Mapu. I mean, I can't say enough about those guys. Hey, believe in that. You know, you've already seen it, like, come to fruition. Like, we can be the team that we make a critical mistake and it can lose a game, but we can also be the team that sparks the plug and can help our offense defense get them rolling. And when those guys believe in it, it makes it special. But those guys are all high-character guys, and I couldn't be more proud to be a part of it. I know we're early in the season right now, and every game's a new game. I mean, to me, it's like, all right, last week was last week, bro, but this in this game, man, it can humble you quick. And you can be on top of the pedestal, and then 1 week you can be on the bottom. So don't ride the roller coaster. Stay steady. Continue to prepare and do the best we can to help our offensive defense. That's what we're trying to do on special teams.
Jeremy, heading into a big game in Buffalo on Sunday night, that's a little older school stadium, so I got a little two-part question. A, primetime game, great crowd and energy. Is that a factor in the kicking game? And is there anything unique to Highmark Stadium as an older stadium style that challenges you or you have to deal with this week?
I would say this, you know, because it is a, you know, primetime game, you don't have to do any more than the guys are going to be juiced and ready to go. So making sure that we have a good game plan that they know very well and they understand it, so that if it does get noisy or things are get a little rowdy, that, you know, we don't have to get rattled by that. Having a good game plan is going to be essential there. In terms of the stadium, now you're in Orchard Park. So it might say 70 and nice on Sunday night, but it could be very windy. So that stadium presents a lot of challenges from a weather standpoint, from the wind, especially since it probably won't be raining or won't be cold or raining, snowing. The wind is always going to be a factor in that stadium. So pregame is going to be essential for us figuring out what our game plan is, how they're probably going to attack us with the wind, and making sure we feel good about that heading to the game.
Could be the last time you play there. I'm not going to say most definitely is the last time that you're going to play there, because you never know what could happen come postseason as well. They got that fancy new facility you'll get a firsthand look at right across the street as well. And also, you know, I've watched a couple of Bills games. You never know. You may have to watch for some unique flying objects coming out of the stands from the fans as well.
It's a rowdy. No doubt, man. I love that kind of stuff. It's fun to see that stuff, though. It's fun to be part of.
Yeah, it's a rowdy crowd for sure. What challenges does Buffalo present to you special teams-wise? Obviously, good kicker. They seem to have speed, discipline, and fundamental tackling all the way around.
That you said, you nailed it right there. Like, they're a sound football team. I think Chris Tabor, who's the special teams coordinator there, does a phenomenal job. I mean, the only reason you coach for so long in this league is if you're consistent, you're really good, and he does a phenomenal job. They're putting his guys in the places they really need to be and where they're going to activate their best strengths as a player. So this is going to be a big challenge, man. This team is good. Obviously, they're 4-0 for a reason. They got a dynamic offensive defense, and on special teams, they're very solid. So it's going to be a challenge for us. We got to go do our job, and we got to win one-on-one matchups. We got to, again, take care of the football and do everything we can to win the field position battle, create positive momentum for the team. And I think our guys will be juiced up, ready to go, who wouldn't be on a Sunday night football game there. And we got to go there and execute.
Before we let you go, I need to reference something from the first Marcus Jones punt return that resonated maybe more with me than others did, but I'm guessing you went over it in film. Tonga was leading the way, and he looked like at about the 40-yard line, he put his fist in the air and started celebrating. He knew that Marcus had made the punter miss and was gone. Did you highlight that? What'd you think of that celebration by your big defensive lineman?
I love it, man. Those guys, they were working their tail off, man. And for those guys to go see a punt return for a touchdown on that unit right there, it's always good to see, man, to have those guys get a feel for, hey, I helped out and I had a part in that punt return. And that's what we always tell our guys, like, you don't know the 25 back there. When 25 back there, whether I'm on the defensive safety team, I'm on punt return, just do your job, and we just don't know when it's going to happen, because that guy can take it at any moment. So just don't let up. Finish longer than the guy with the ball, and the rest will take care of itself.
All right, Coach, good luck on Sunday night in Buffalo, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good, brother. You guys have a good rest of your day, okay?
You too. See you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
That was Patriots special teams coach Jeremy Springer.